persecution or privilege? Yesterday, we looked at what Jesus meant when he told his disciples, quote, "The world hates you," end quote, John 15:19. We saw that in John's gospel, when Jesus speaks about the world, he's not referring to everything and everyone outside the community of his followers, but to those forces opposed to God and his kingdom. Therefore, we must be careful not to dismiss the critique of the church that comes from our culture or from a non-Christian source. In some cases, they may be instruments of God's correction and grace to be welcomed rather than enemies to be shunned. However, a proper reading of Jesus' warning in John 15 also depends on how we understand persecution. As he said, quote, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you," end quote, John 15:20. When Jesus spoke about persecution, he made it clear that not all suffering his followers experience is persecution. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, quote, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness," end quote. And he went on to bless those who are persecuted, quote, "on my account," end quote, Matthew 5:10-11. It is when we suffer for doing what is right or for being identified with Jesus that we are blessed. But there are plenty of Christians who may claim persecution who are actually suffering due to their own foolish or unrighteous behavior. Some suffer for righteousness, but frankly, some Christians suffer because they are insufferable. Persecution, as John Stott deftly defined it, quote, "is simply the clash between two irreconcilable value systems," end quote. The value system presented by Jesus is radically incongruent with the one presented by much of the world. Therefore, anyone who follows Jesus' way should expect to be misunderstood, maligned, or mistreated. In fact, persecution is often seen as a sign of genuine faith in Christ. This is why Martin Luther listed suffering as an identifying mark of the true church, and any church that never suffers must be so at home in the world that it cannot possibly be faithfully representing Christ and his kingdom. A desire to be seen as a genuine Christian, however, may cause us to claim persecution where none exists. This temptation is compounded by the rapidly changing cultural realities of our age. As the United States becomes more diverse, with many more religious traditions and an increasing number of people with no religious affiliation at all, the privileged position the Christian faith and its values once enjoyed in our culture is diminishing. For example, in some places, Christian prayers and symbols have been removed from public spaces, or they now exist alongside religious symbols from other traditions. This loss of Christianity's privileged status in our culture can often be misinterpreted as persecution. This conflation of privilege and persecution was uncovered by a recent Barna study concerning the state of religious freedom in the United States. Evangelicals were the Americans most likely to say, quote, "Religious freedom in the U.S. has grown worse in the past 10 years," end quote, 77%. And yet, evangelicals were also the most likely to say that their religious values, quote, "should be given preference in the U.S., end quote, 76%. Preferential treatment of one religion over another is precisely what religious freedom was established to prevent. How do we make sense of these seemingly contradictory findings? There are two possibilities. Many American evangelicals may not fully understand what religious freedom means, or, as David Kinnaman, president of Barna, asks, quote, "Is it possible that evangelicals are interpreting a loss of religious privilege as loss of religious freedom?" End quote. I suspect both may be true. To be clear, religious persecution is a very present reality in our world. In fact, according to Open Doors International, more than 340 million Christians are experiencing high, very high, or severe persecution for their faith, and the number has risen considerably in recent years. The experience of our sisters and brothers around the world who are suffering for their devotion to Christ ought to make us reconsider our own situation. Before we cry persecution, we should pause and ask whether we're truly being targeted for being a Christian, or whether we're simply being asked to make room for our neighbor who isn't. When we claim our loss of privilege is actually persecution, we're not only misapplying Jesus' words in John 15, we're also disparaging those who are genuinely suffering for his name, both in the U.S. and around the world. John 15:18-27. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. First Peter 4:12-16. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. The weekly prayer comes from Catherine of Genoa. Lord, I bring the poverty of my soul to be transformed by your beauty, the wildness of my passions to be tamed by your love, the stubbornness of my will to be conformed by your commandments, and the yearnings of my heart to be renewed by your grace, both now and forevermore. Amen. With God Daily is produced by Measure the Clouds Ministries. To find out more or how you can support Measure the Clouds with a tax-deductible donation, please visit withgoddaily.com.